Today's daf is Masechet Shavuot, daf Chof Zayin, right at the top of the Halakha Mishnah. Nishba levatel et ha-mitzvah v'lo bitel patur. If someone made a shvua that would have caused him to cancel a mitzvah, so he swears he's not going to eat matzah, and he ends up eating, so he's patur. L'kayem v'lo kiyem. Furthermore, even if he made a shvua that he's going to do a mitzvah, and he didn't do the mitzvah, he's putter on the shvua part. So he makes him better a shvua that he's going to be saying Kriyat Shema today. He'd be putter on the shvua. Shaya b'din she'echayav k'divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera. You might have thought that actually it would have worked out that he should be chayiv for a mitzvah to be mekayim, as Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera says, because Zom Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera, if imagine, if you be chayev on just a dvar reshut, so it's kol shekein. If it's something that you are mushba mi'ar Sinai, mitzvah shemushba alav mi'ar Sinai, enotin shechayev alav, for sure, you have a double reason to be chayev. It's not arbitrary that you're making it up out of your head. Amrulo, so they said to him, but that's the point, isn't it? Loim amarta b'shvuat harishut. Remember, the Torah says v'harau leitiv, right? So the shvuat harishut can be the direction. Shekein asaba lav kehen. And therefore it fits the model of the pasuk, either yes or no. Mashenke, if you make a shvuat mitzvah, you make a kal v'chomer, it's all very nice in one direction, that I will put on tefillin. How about if you make a shvuat that I won't put on tefillin? That you can't do. We're over there. Lo asaba lav kehen. Sheinish bala vatel v'lo bitel. Even you're agreeing that if he made a shvua that he's going to be mavatel and he didn't, he would be potter on the shvua. So therefore, you can't say it in this direction either. You know, let's look now further into the source of all the assumptions that the sugya seems to be making here in the machlokas rabbanim Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera. Turn around. The Braita does a fascinating thing. What the Braita does is it basically utilizes the internal structure of the mitzvah in order to come out with an understanding of how we know all the things that we claim to know in the Mishnah. And it does this by working out the possible interrelationships in such a way that it finally shows you that you're reduced to an impossibility. And by reducing it to an impossibility, you finally come out with the halacha. So it starts off very easy. You might think that indeed a shvua would be chal to be mevatel at a mitzvah. Talmud lomar lahara o lahitiv. If hatava is reshut, of course we don't know that. We're going to have to figure out how do we know hatava is reshut. And we're going to get that in a moment. So if hatava has to be defined as reshut, as we're going to see, then we have no choice but to say that the hara'ah itself would also be reshut. So you can't be nishba levatel et ha-mitzvah. Now, remember that the word hara'ah and hatava has many layers of understanding. Because we could talk about lehetiv in the sense of total hatava. You're going to do something which is a physical hatava and a spiritual hatava. For instance, you say, I'm going to eat matzah. Now it's Lil Pesach. So that way you'll both be mekayim mitzvah and you'll be doing something which is good for you. You could say something that's a total hara'ah. Total hara'ah would mean, let's say, you say, I won't eat matzah. So I won't eat matzah, you're also going to be hungry and you're also not going to be mekayim mitzvah. But things get more complicated when you also realize that eating isn't necessarily a good thing. So how do we define that if somebody wants to eat something that's not good for him? He's a diabetic and he says, I'm going to have a glass of Coke. Is that called hatava? That's called hara'ah. It means hatava in the general sense that I'm giving myself something to drink. Same question if somebody asks you for a cigarette. Is it good to give him a cigarette or bad to give him a cigarette? Is it chesed to give him a cigarette? I mean, this is his desire, so in a sense it's a hatava to himself. On the other hand, it's a hatava, which is a hara'ah. The Torah leaves it very vague. It doesn't tell us on what level It's telling us that it's up to us to determine hara'a v'hatava. But the key that the Bright is going to use to get to the bottom of this is to point out that if you give the most general usage, the word hara'a hatava, you end up with the hara'a itself being hatava, or the hatava itself being hara'a. In which case, why would we have had to say the other one, since hatava itself could have included both hara'a? Say we take the most easy understanding of hatava, the surface, you're doing something to give yourself something to eat. No? Okay, it's good. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe you're overweight. So then it's hara'a. Maybe it's Yom Kippur. So then it's hara'a. That's a spiritual hara'a. And so on. So if that's the truth, then the hatava is the hara'a. So you wouldn't even have to mention hara'a and hatava, because each would include the other, lamaisa. So if on some level we could understand that the hatava is also including the hara'a, then we couldn't understand why we'd need both. You could see where this is going to lead us. If we're going to try to explore the way in which both of these things could be true uniquely and not include the other one in the broadest sense. In other words, we're forced to expect of ourselves that if the Torah is putting together hara'a and hatava, that if we assume that it means a complete and total interrelationship, we've been talking about symmetry in hara'a v'hatava. If it means complete and total symmetry, then it breaks down because of the fact that then every hara'a would include hatava, and every hatava would include hara'a unless it was across the board. So let's see how we do that. So we start off by saying, well, hatava undoubtedly means rishus. So then hara'a would have to mean rishus, because after all, they're written together, so they would have to be parallel, right? Okay, so that would mean I have to exclude a case where I was nishba levatel ta mitzvah, but I was not levatel the mitzvah, and in such a case I would be patur, because it wasn't rishus. Now how about the other way around? How about if I'm nishba lekayem ta mitzvah, and I wasn't mekayem the mitzvah, so maybe there I should be chayev the way Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera says. Talmud lomar, lehara o leitiv. If hara'a is rishut, then hatava would also have to be in rishut. Now this seems to be a massive tautology. When we start off by saying, we know that hatava is rishut, so therefore hara'a has to be rishut. Now we prove that hara'a has to be rishut. Then we turn around and say, well, now that we know that hara'a is rishut, we can certainly prove that hatava is rishut. And how in the world do we do this? Otsi nishba lekayem et ha-mitzvah v'lo kiyem. So if I try to do a hatava, which is a mitzvah, then I must be potter. Now, Tosis points out that obviously this entire discussion cannot be going aliba Rabbi Akiva, first of all. Because Rabbi Akiva, we just saw, learns this entire thing out of ribui and miyut. He darshins lo pasuk ribui and miyut. In which case, the only thing that was left to be mamayit, my miyut, miyut tvar mitzvah. So we already know. But that's a given in the Pasuk Alibi Rabbi Akiva, so we can't, we're going now on the assumption that we're talking about a klal prat uklal, not a ribui umiyut, yeah? Okay, so then we seem to be dealing in tautologies, and the Bright is going to force us to see what leads us to take these arguments seriously by analyzing what was our initial assumption, what was our assumption in the second case, and so on. But first we want to hear this very cryptic Bright from the beginning to the end, to try to figure out what it's doing. We need to see it, but the Gemara darshans at times holistic drushas where it's impossible to understand what's going on until you see the whole picture. When it does that, it doesn't go step by step. First, you go through the whole braita. In other cases where it could be dealt with piecemeal, it parses a braita, asks, what is that? Very often, we interrupt. We interrupt this braita to say, what the heck are you talking about, right? We figure that out and we go back. Here, there's nothing to discuss until you hear what it's trying to do. Okay, so we have our first, what appears to be our first tautology in the Bright. Okay, says the Tana, let's continue. How about Yochol Nishba Lahara La'atzmo? How about if a guy decides he's going to hurt himself in some way? And he doesn't. So Yochol Yehei Patur, you might think that that would be potter. Talmud lomar lahara o lahetiv. Mahat avarishus afara avarishus. In which case, avinish balahara latzmova lohira sharashut biyado. Since you have in your hand the rights to hurt yourself. Now again, remember that the point of the brayta so far, we're going to see why we need to make this assumption, is that we're giving the maximal definitions. Because with the maximal definitions, we end up with the problems that force us into the definitions we do give. The maximal definitions of lahara latzmo would not be to deprive yourself of the ice cream. It would be to slit your hands. So the point of this Mishnah, of this Braita, this Bava in the Braita, is if Mamonavshach, if that is a mutter to do, so then obviously it's included. Why wouldn't it be? It's pure hara'ah. The point of this part of the Braita, says Tosfos, is only to bring out that the Tan of the Braita holds you're allowed to slit your hands. Obviously you can't kill yourself. But that Adam Rishay Lach Bo Batzmo, which is a machloket. So this, the Braita here is making a stand. There's nothing added really in the next, in these two Bavot, this one and the Monte Carlo.
Maximal
Raha. We want to talk about the maximal Ra. Or the maximal Hatava. So therefore it would run across the board. That's the point. So what do we mean by the Hatava? We end up with a contradiction. Because the fact is, if you're very good to yourself, you may be very bad to yourself. And if you're very bad to yourself, you may be very good to yourself.
Short-term, long-term?
Well, I mean, like the example we gave. Yeah, you're overweight. You commit yourself to eating an ice cream sundae. Is that Hatava or is that Hara'ah? That's just a physical issue. How about if you're very hungry and you might give yourself to eat on Yom Kippur? Is that Hara'ah or Hatava? I mean, vis-a-vis the physical world, it's Hatava. Vis-a-vis your spiritual self, it's Hara'ah. So there's a lot of confusion in what we're talking about here. So this is what we want to zero in on. Okay, how about, says the Braita, Avi Nishba, Yochol, sorry, we finished that, Yochol Nishba Leira La'achirim V'lo Hira. So if I've proven now that you can do bad to yourself and be over if you don't, maybe that's true about being bad to others. So, Yochol Nishba Leira La'achirim V'lo Hira She'yachayav. How about, if you, how many times have you had a guy swear, I swear I'm going to bash his brains in?
That's
a very, the Rambam says that. That's right. That's why you're chayav on Shabbos, because it's called mitaken, for your the needs of your yates. It's exactly the case he brings. It's from the Gemara. It does you a lot of good to bash that guy's brains in, so it's mitaken for yourself, you know. So, you might think that in that case, you would be chayav also. Talmud omar la ra'a le'etiv again, if atav az rishus, af hara'a az rishus. So then if you're saying you're going to be meirah to somebody else, v'lo heirah, now again, obviously this is maximal again. Because la'ara la'achirim could be something which would mean I will not give him rishus to take a shortcut along my property. So why do we have to say it means I'll smash in his brains? Because again, this entire drasha is based on reducing that assumption to show us that it can't possibly work if we expect hara'ah and hatava to be compared to each other maximally. So Talmud Omar la ra'it la'itim ma'atava rishut hafa'ah rishut. Otsi, therefore we must exclude when somebody swore he's going to hurt someone else. And he didn't. V'lo'ira, we're over there in our shupil. It's not up to him. Minayin l'rabot hatavatach. But wait! Then if that's the case, if I swear I'm going to do something good for someone else, then it's no longer symmetrical. Because it's not going to be yes or no. That is a major problem. So how would I be chayav v'shvua if I said I'm going to give a gift to so-and-so? Now obviously I could say that the hara'ah would be, I won't give a gift to so-and-so. That would be perfectly symmetrical. But it's not symmetrical in the maximum. Because if the maximum is I'm going to bash his brains in, then how about something I will save his life? So then it wouldn't be symmetrical, so then it shouldn't be included in the parasha of Shavuos. Talmud Lomar, O Lehetiv. O, why does it say O Lehetiv? That extra O could have said Lahara U Lehetiv. It says O Lehetiv. O tells you there's a case where it could be one and not the other. Instead of and, or, if there's a case of an or, then this is the logical case of the or. Now, Ezoi Hara'at Acherim, what do we mean when we talk about Hara'at Acherim? We don't mean not giving him permission to cut across your lawn. What we're referring to is Aked Ploni Veftzat Mocho, I intend to bash this guy's brains in. That's what Hara'at Acherim means. That's a common shvuah. I swear I'm going to bash his brains in right now. So now, let's start from the beginning. You said, your first thing was, Yochad Nishba Levatel Ad Ata Mitzvah Velo Bitel, Mahatava Rishut. What do you mean, Mahatava Rishut? How do you know that Hatava is Rishut, that you're making these diyuk? What you're asking is, would it also be able to be extrapolated to including spiritual Hara'ah, spiritual Hatava? But if it were, so then we would end up with a case where you could easily, give me an example of a hara'ah, meaning a bitul mitzvah, which is a hatava for yourself, and vice versa. You're going to be mativ to yourself with a mitzvah, which is going to be hara'ah, so you won't eat on Yom Kippur. But that's terrible, then you're going to starve. So you cannot use the word in both ways, without ending up wondering why you would need both hara'ah v'hatava, because then every hara'ah includes hatava, and every hatava includes hara'ah. So, what would be the point of mentioning the two if they really aren't opposites? If the whole idea is that we're talking about a symmetry of opposites. So that symmetry of opposites implies that we can't give the type of explanation which simply reverses the symmetry. So then what's the point? Then each one is already symmetrical to itself. It's both hara'ah and hatava. So how could we possibly give two examples? That's going to be our problem. So therefore, says the Gemara, look, if you're going to say that, then the hara'ah gufa ends up to be hatavai. We might decry bidvar rishut ktive, but why are we taking for granted that we're talking about rishus and not mitzvah? All along we say that. Dilmid bidvar mitzvah ktive. Who's to say that it isn't actually talking about bidvar mitzvah? And then all of our things fall apart, of course, because, in other words, the pasuk may be talking about something that is not only a dvar shavis. It doesn't mean only a dvar mitzvah. Says the Gemara, no, you can't say that. Because, look, because being on hatava do mean the hara'ah do mean the hatava, right? The akish hara'ah la hatava. I mean, look, there's no choice to the fact that we're going to have to think of a single case, either yes bidvar mitzvah, not bidvar mitzvah, in which we can work out that hara'ah is dumi ta hatava, and hatava is dumi ta hara'ah, because after all, hara'ah is compared to the hatava. And therefore, let's start on one end. Ma hatava in a bitul mitzvah. It's clear that the hatava cannot be a bitul mitzvah, because if it would be a bitul mitzvah, let's say a guy, the hatava is, I'm going to eat Pesach. Chometz for Pesach, right? So that's the tova that I'm going to be full. But that isn't considered to be tova, because, I mean, he's also considering what he's doing to his soul and to the onesh that he's going to get. It's obviously also a ra'ah. So that would mean that if the hatava is on a dvar mitzvah, it could only mean the kiyum of a dvar mitzvah. So in other words, he makes a neder that is completely a tova. I will eat matzah. on Pesach. So it's great for my soul to keep a mitzvah, and it's also great for my body, because now I'm not hungry. Okay, but if that's the case, then we would have to come to the conclusion that if so, the hara'ah cannot be bebitul mitzvah either. So then that would mean he cannot be saying, I will not eat matzah. Rather, it would be a shvua that on a kiyum of a mitzvah, just like that of Avos. So that would mean that he would be swearing that he won't eat chometz. But if he's swearing that he won't eat chometz, that's something that's good. Then hara agufa hatavahi. So then that is a mitzvah. But it already said hatava. So then why does it say hara'a? And vice versa, we could also ask. Let's see if it's talking about a dvar mitzvah. So then we could say, akish hatava la hara'a. Okay? So just like the ra'a cannot be a kiyum mitzvah, so in other words, I will not eat chometz, because if that's the case, then it's a tova. But if that's the case, the tava can also not be the kiyum mitzvah. Let's say he's nishba that he will eat matzah. It would have to be then bebitul mitzvah. So it would be bebitul mitzvah. Again, to the maximum, obviously it would be part of it, as Tosis points out. But assuming that we're taking this to the maximum, it's supposed to match all the way, so then the hatava gufa is hara'ai. And therefore, the entire argument breaks down, because there is no way that we could be makish then entirely in this fashion if we're going to suggest that it does involve issues of mitzvah, either bitul or kiyum mitzvah. Is not bekiyum mitzvah, because then the hatava gufa is hara'ahi. You end up with exactly the same situation in both directions. There are sometimes you could be made of yourself for a kiyum mitzvah, in which case you're being very bad to yourself. Says the Gemara, but if you make that argument, then you end up with exactly the same problem with a maximal definition where you're not even talking about mitzvah. That's true even about a Dvar Rishos. Somebody who's overweight commits himself to eating something. So that's a Hatava, which is a Hara'ah. You commit yourself not to eat that food because you're allergic to that food. So that's a Hatava, but it's a Hara'ah because you're not going to eat it. So then why isn't that exactly the same argument that you just had with a mitzvah? Our question was, how broadly can we define it? You made it appear that there was only one problem, that if we define it in two ways, which we thought were not contradictory, because you could easily make a shvua, that you will eat matzah, but that you won't eat matzah, then it's both a mitzvah, so that's tov, and it's filling your hunger, so it's tov, or that you won't, it's both a bitul mitzvah, and creating hunger, so it's clearly ra. That's what you thought. So we showed you, if you're willing to extend the definition in that way, you end up with this contradiction. And if we don't extend it in this way, we don't end up with the contradiction. We still end up with the contradiction. You're certainly going to include in the word hatava in all types of dvar reshut. So why can't you make that same argument, asked the Gemara. If that's the case, ihachi, so then bidvar reshut nami lo mashkachat la. Making this type of argument will end up saying the same thing, because where exactly do you want to cut the meaning of hatavar hara'ah? So obviously you don't have a right to demand a maximal explanation of ra'ah or tavah. It doesn't have to be maximal. It's very easy to find a case which isn't maximal, where everything works out fine. One is clear hatava, and one is clear hara'ah, and then you end up without all these problems. So this proves that we can't use this as the argument, okay? Well, if it proves it can't, we use this as the argument, so then what in the world is the basis for our assumptions now? So now we're back where we started from. How do we know that we're not talking about a dvar mitzvah? Since if I want to use this argument, I can't even draw a line in a dvar reshut. Says the Gemara, okay, let's try a whole new tact. You notice that interesting diuk that we made at the very end of all of our searches here. The last thing was Talmud Lomar, How do we know that it's possible to make a shvua to be meitiv to someone else, even though you can't make a shvua to be meiriyah to someone else? Oh. What do we need to, oh, I understand. What do you mean, even though you can't make a shvua to be meiriyah? Why can't I make a shvua to bash the guy's brains in? Why not? Obviously, because I'm not allowed to. So if the Torah needs to tell me that there exists a one-way shvua, the one-way shvua is, you could do the right thing, but you can't do the wrong thing, it's still have a shvua. So that means that it's a given. You could not say, I will bash his brains in. Why? Because the Torah doesn't allow you to do that. So that shows that a shvua is not chal on a dvar mitzvah, otherwise we wouldn't have needed the oath. So it says the Gemara, Ella. You see, the sophistication of the argument is just so beautiful. Now, the Rabot HaTavat HaChirim. So if you're telling me that there's a violation of symmetry between the Lahara Leitiv, in the case of HaTavat HaChirim, so then we've got to be talking about a Dvar HaRashut, by definition. Right? Because Yisak Tetru Dvar Mitzvah, if you're telling me that it's also referring to a Dvar Mitzvah, so then that would mean that I am allowed to bash the other guy's head, or I have a shvua, that is to say, not I'm allowed, but I have a shvua to bash the other guy's brains in, and the shvua would be chal. If I don't bash his brains in, I'm going to be over on the shvua. That's a given? So now I need the oath to tell me, oh yeah, by the way, you could also give him a tzedakah. What, are you crazy? If I can bash his brains in, I need to tell you there's a shvua that I can make to be good to him. So of course you can, I can be good to him, no? Because Yisak HaDayit B'Dvar Mitzvah K'tivi, which would mean that I could actually make a shvua against an Isser in the Torah. So then, Hashta Hara'at HaChirim Yitrabi. If you're telling me that I'm even able to make a shvua to hurt someone, HaTavat HaChirim Yiboy, I need a pasuk to tell me that I'm allowed to make a shvua to do good to somebody. Says the Gemara, now we're on dangerous grounds because you're saying everything now boils down to this oh. But oh is necessary. Because let's say it wouldn't say oh. Then wouldn't I have thought that la'ara ula'etiv is and? As a matter of fact, in light of what we just had, wow. We'd have to say that a shvua would only be on something which is part good and part bad, maybe. It's both la'ara ula'etiv. So I could make a shvua to eat something, and it would be chal, but only if I'm overweight. So that the shvua would be both good and bad. Or, of course, I could make two separate shvuas at one time, one good and one bad.
Potentially good and bad.
No, make something that would hurt means I'm fine. So then I would be chayav. But if I made one absolutely good and one absolutely bad shvua, it wouldn't be chal. But since it says, oh, it tells me, no, I don't mean that. I mean either or. That's always called lechalek. So don't I need or to tell me that it doesn't mean and? Now, how can you base everything on an or that means either or, even where one couldn't be symmetrical? Maybe at least it has to be potentially symmetrical. I just don't have to do both at once. So you go lechalek? No, lechalek. Lo tzarech bra. And is and or in the Torah. No, wait a minute, says the Gemara. That's a famous machloket. Is and or is and only. So according to Rabbi Yonatan, as we're going to see, and always means and or. But according to Rabbi Yoshia, Michael Amimar, he doesn't hold that and means and or. Where is that machloket, famous machloket, the Tanya? Isha asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo. So here the Torah says, a man asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo, mot yumat. Okay, but obviously that would mean that he has to curse both father and mother. Asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo. So imi ela aviv ve'imo. So it's only if he curses both parents. How about if he only curses aviv ve'lo imo, or imo ve'lo aviv? How do we know that he would be chayav? Talmud Lomar continues the pasuk to say completely unnecessarily aviv imo kilel b'mavbo. So the first part of the pasuk puts the kilel now next to aviv, yikalel et aviv et imo. The second part of the pasuk puts the kilel imo kilel b'mavbo to tell me either kilel aviv or imo kilel. Either way, you're chayiv. Talmud Amar aviv imo kilel, aviv kilel imo kilel. And therefore, Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, you have now clearly an indication that the aviv v'imo did not mean and.
Is the redundancy or the putting the kilel next to imo kilel?
No, well, otherwise I would say it has to be next to one of them. But if you repeat it and you put it the other way, obviously that's the purpose of the repetition, is to show you that it's put next to the other one. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, please, you don't need any of this. Because the word and is always mashmashneim ke'achad u'mashmachad b'fnei atzmo. It always means either and or. And therefore, when I read the pasuk, I know that it can mean your father and your mother, or your father or your mother. So either way would be fine. I'll prove this to you. Ad shifrot l'cha ha-katruv. The only time where it doesn't mean that, and that's my proof, is where the Torah means together, it always says together. Yachdav. When it doesn't say Yachdav, it doesn't mean together, it means either or. So then if the Torah would aser to, let's say, draw your plow with a shor v'chamor, according to you it says a shor v'chamor, that doesn't mean or. So why does it have to say Yachdav? Together. According to you, you did this whole drasha. Why does it say Yachdav then? Show me where it said or. So apparently without the Yachdav, the ve would have meant or. So then it would have been saying you're not allowed to draw your plow with an ox or with a donkey. Ridiculous. The whole point is you can't put the two together. But in order to tell me that, I have to say the word together. So obviously the and didn't mean and. The and could have been understood as or I didn't need to tell me together. That's my proof. So anyway, so what's the case over here? Why don't I need, therefore, the O to tell me either or, if you hold like Rabbi Yoshia? Well, in this case, it's not a problem. Because Rabbi Yoshia, you see, doesn't need this whole business. You're right. It's very true. The O is a chalik. What's your problem? How do I know that it's not chal on Dvar Mitzvah? What do you mean, how? Like Rabbi Akiva, Itashin Ribri, Miyat. The only thing that was left to be Mamayat was to be Mamayat, the Dvar Mitzvah. So I didn't need the O. You're the one who needs the O. If you're not going to dash like Rabbi Akiva, it's your problem. Okay, it happens to be you don't need the O L'chalek. It worked out very good for you. Boy, are you in luck. But otherwise you would have been left without a Mekar to tell me that there's no Shvuah Chal on a Dvar Mitzvah. Now, Iyamrit, Bishlem, you see, if you're Dashim Riboy Miyute, so then if you're ready to bite the bullet and accept that the Pasuk was talking only about a Dvar HaRashut, so then, fine. What was the Miyut of La Ra'a Leitiv? To be Mamayat a Dvar Mitzvah. But if you're going to tell me that the case as given is a case of a Dvar Mitzvah too, tell me exactly what's excluded. There was nothing left to exclude. The Riboy was marred by everything. The only thing that we said wasn't similar to the Ra'a Leitiv was the Dvar Mitzvah. Otherwise, you're stuck. Om Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera. So we continue on to say that Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera said, if a Dvar, a Rashut, you can make a Shvuah on, Kol Shekin, you can make a Shvuah to do something which the Torah says is right, and you need to do. So the Chachamim said to him, what do you mean? You need to preserve symmetry. There's no symmetry over there because you couldn't say not to do it. Hey, that's a darn good point, says the Gemara. What's Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera going to say to that? V'rabbanan, shapir karmila Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera. Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera back, based on what we just learned, you're ones to be talking about symmetry. What did you just do with the O? So the O itself just taught you that what? When you're being good to somebody else, you can't preserve that symmetry. Because in being maximally good, you'd have to say you could also be maximally bad, which would include bashing in his brains, which you said you can't do. So even so, you said the ode came along to tell me, don't get too hung up on this symmetry stuff. That's what you said. Okay. So why are we getting hung up on symmetry now? So there, la vafa gavdolete bichlal arat acherim. Is it not true that you couldn't do bad to the other guy? And nonetheless, Rabbi Rachmana, the Torah now comes along and tells us, nonetheless, you can make a shvua to go ahead and to be metiv. Okay? So then that means, you know, the problem with Rachmana is that it's very difficult in English, because English is such a viciously chilled language, to translate that accurately, because what it really says is, our lover, which is Rach, the one who is Rach, our lover, told us not like that, which is really a beautiful way to refer to the Torah. In English, it comes across as being rather strange.
Merciful.
My son?
Merciful.
No, it doesn't. Rachim doesn't mean merciful.
No.
No, it doesn't. The word Rachim is the one who loves. The attribute of Rachamim comes because of the way that lovers will
give
each other, exactly, will tolerate each other. But to be Rachim is it to be Merachim. Rachmana is not the merciful one. It's the one who is Rachimas.
So what would be the translation of the lover?
Our lover told us.
That's
first HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us through the Torah, which we now, that's... Yeah. It's terrible when it's translated like this. The verse says, the merciful one says.
Merciful, like nice.
Well, what are you referring to the merciful one? Well, it doesn't make any sense. So Achinami Bikiyum, again, you know that they actually changed places where in songs where we use the word lover, because of the Middle Ages was very, very hung up about that. So. Like in Yedid Nefesh. The original gears of Yedid Nefesh was our lover, Ahuv. It was changed to say, Ahuv, please love us. We don't want to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu our beloved. So they changed it. If you take a look at the early gears of it, it's Ahuv, not Ahuv now. Anyway, so therefore comes along now the Torah to tell us here that don't worry about preserving symmetry, right? Even though Avagav, that it's letter b'chlal arat acherim. Nonetheless, achinami b'kiyum mitzvah. It's exactly the same thing. You'll say, well, but you couldn't have made a shvua to be mevatel a mitzvah. So how dare you think that you could make a shvua to be mekayim a mitzvah? Why is that any different than the case that you said about being bad or good to another person? That also involves the mitzvah. And nonetheless, the Torah was marked. So you see that we don't care about that symmetry. Rabbi Rachmana, the Rabbanan say, no, this is not really true. And I'll tell you why it's not really true. Because the violation of symmetry is only in the case where you give a maximal definition. But how about if you give a passive definition? So you say, the Lahara is, I will not be good to him. I won't give him permission to walk across my lawn, right? So that I can do. So it's not that I don't have any area in which that symmetry works. It does work. La ra oleitiv la achirim. So that's fine. So now you're saying, but what about where it violates symmetry? So then it's not that it potentially violates symmetry. In this particular case, it violates symmetry. I can't give him a donation of blood because the other one would mean I would take his blood away from him, you know, in a way that was damaging. I'm going to save his life by giving him blood. I'll deprive him of his life by removing his blood. There you're going to say that it violates symmetry. So the Torah says that extent of symmetry you don't need. But there's nothing like that when it comes to a mitzvah. Either you're going to be doing the wrong thing, or something's not going to be the kind of a mitzvah that's passive, it's still rather. I'm not going to eat now my matzah tonight. So over there you have a complete violation of symmetry. That the Torah never said. Isn't that nice? Sometimes I wonder why I do this. My dear President, La Presidente.
Doctor, Commissioner.
Shvuah, shelo ochal kikar zo. Guy makes a shvuah. I will not eat this loaf. Shvuah, shelo ochal, and I swear I won't eat it. Shvuah, shelo ochal, and I swear again I won't eat it. And he eats it. So then he's only chayav one. Because as we know, once there's a shvuah, shvuah can't be chal on a shvuah. It's like it can't be chal on a dvar mitzvah. And now comes that famous ending that has caused us so much grief and joy in the past. Zohi shvuat pitui shechayavin azedonam akot v'al shvigata korban olav yore. And this is the model of a shvuat pitui, which you would be chayav both the mezid makot and b'shogeg the korban olav yore. I mean, all these various different ways of reading. Which was it? Was it both? Was it one? Was it the first one? Was it the second one? That was unique. Because we're supposed to be medayek zot and not something else. Fine. Whereas shvuat shav, there you would be chayev on zdona makot, but the Torah never talked about a chiev of a korban olav yore on a shagoga of shvuat shav, did it? So this is a unique situation. Now look at this marvelous, marvelous deep, and the sophistication. Why does it have to say a change in language? Shu'ah shelo ochal kikarzo. Shu'ah shelo ochalena. Why does it shu'ah shelo ochalena? Why can't he just say shu'ah shelo ochal kikarzo three times? Shu'ah shelo ochal. Why do we say first shlochal kikarze? And then we say shvur shlochal.
Between Zion, not
the ochlenon, ochlenon, what the adding in one word, this is so marvelous, adding in one word the object into the verb is completely different than having the object and the verb separated in Hebrew. How? Very simple. If you make a shvua that you're not going to eat a kikar, so then the shvua means that each time you eat a kezayit from this kikar, you're going to be over. But if you make a shvua that you won't be ochelena, then the verb and the object become one, and the definition of the verb is eating the object, not a part of the object. Isn't that marvelous? And
the whole.
Yeah. But it makes a tremendous nafkamina la'alacha. Because now the Mishnah is saying something amazing. Suppose you first would have said, shvur shelo ochalena l'kikasa, shvur shelo ochal kikasa, shvur shelo ochal. Then the din would be that it wouldn't have been a shvuah shechal shvuah, because then the first statement would only have asserted consumption of the entire kikar, and the second would have asserted even eating a kezayit from the kikar. Therefore, the Mishnah says, and be very careful about the exact construction, because there might be a way that it actually would work. It's only this particular construct in which I would say it wouldn't be chal. Ay, ay, ay. You need yitz. Read the Gemara. Fine. HaKamashra is coming to teach me this, you see. The time of the Omar Shalom Ochal, V'Hodar Omar Shalom Ochlena. There you're only chayiv one for one shvua. But if you had said it the other way around, Aval Omar Shalom Ochlena, V'Hodar Omar Shalom Ochal, then you would be chayiv twice. You could have two shvuot that would be chal. Why? Kidarova. The Omar Rava shvuah shelo ochal kikarzo. So if you say I'm not going to eat this thing, so you separate the verb and the object. So then, the definition of achila is a kezayit. So kiven she'achal mimena kezayit, you're chayav. But when you put the verb and the object together, and you say shelo ochlena, then in ochayav at she'achal et kula. Okay, now the other issue is, why belabor the point? You want to tell me that a shvua is not chal on a shvua? All you needed to say was, shvua shelo ochal ki kazu, shvua shelo ochlena. What's this third shvua shelo ochlena? Doesn't teach you a darn thing. It's completely irrelevant. The Tana never does that, as the Gemara puts it. What is the Tana? It's an Avon man. Okay, who wants jewelry? Got beautiful jewelry today. Yes, indeed. Come see my jewelry. For heaven's sake, stop blabbing so much and say what you want to say. So what would be the point, asking about Tulamali? Why do I need that third case? What does it add? It's telling me an amazing thing. There is no way for this shvua to be chal. That doesn't mean there's no shvua. There still is a shvua. And if that shvua ever finds a place to be chal, poof, it got you. How could it do that? You went ahead and you were shayal on your original shvua, thinking that now you're home free. Poof! So now it became mutter. But once it becomes mutter, that other shvua ends up being chal. Because it was always a shvua, it just didn't have the object. When the object becomes available back in time, so now you've reinterpreted the past, because you were oikar the original shvua, and at that point, the past is now understood to consist of the second shvua. If you remove the second shvua, you'll still have the third shvua. Whereas if I had only said the first two, I never would have known that there was relevance to the existence of the second one, because I knew I needed to tell me the original did. Therefore, I repeat the second case to say that you're not chayev on the third one. Well, I'll be, you mean I'm not chayev, but it's still a shvua? So now, if I'll go and I'll be shayel on the first shvua, the second shvua will be chal. If I go and be shayel on the second shvua, it's now relevant that there's a third shvua, because on the third shvua will be chal. Back in time, retroactively. Correct. Because that's how She'elah works. It goes back, my friend.
So, when we say Shavua Yeruchal or Shavua, it's really there?
It's there, but it's not Chal.
Chal means?
Didn't have where to be brought into reality.
Activated.
Right. Chal means that it comes into an expression. Right, but now it was fully expressed. We now know that the past was different than we thought it was. That was the whole point of being Sheol on Yeshua. Now, of course, this has remarkable implications in terms of tshuva, first of all, which is why we relate the HaTorahs, Nedarim, and Shvuas to Shvua, to tshuva, and the introduction to Yom Kippur. Because now the issue is redefining the past. But then it would be nogea, the Isser over here as well. How about if you're already over the Isser? Can you undo being over the Isser by being shol on the Shua? Which means that the Shua never existed. So now you never did the Isser.
The Isser would be over the Shua. Is that what we actually are doing in the first Nurim?
It's connected to that. I mean, it's obviously the same idea. Neder and a shvua is a corruption of your worldview, essentially. It's something which is entirely solipsistic that you've worked on. And now it's so powerful to you, it becomes an issue. But that's exactly where hate comes from. You're able to take something which is completely wrong and it appears completely right. All right, so anyway, now, the nafka mina, therefore, the first level is, where is this nogea? Look at a rabbi. The Omar rabbi, she'im nish'al ala rishona. If you go to be shoel ha'chacham on the original shvua, so then, al talo shniya tachteo. The second one now takes the place of the first one. Hey, that's interesting. Maybe we can prove this. Lema misayeli. Mishna darshte nezirot. Somebody accepts upon himself two nezirot. Hareni nazir. Hareni nazir. And he counted the full 30 days of the first nezirot. And he was already mafresh the carbon for his nezirot. And now he is shoel on his nezirot. So what happens is that the first nezirut ends up being the second nezirut, which he wasn't shoel on. Now it turns out that that was the nezirut all along. And therefore he can use the carbon for that nezirut, and everything is fine. So, I mean, that clearly proves Rava's contention, doesn't it? This is a Mishnah. That's absurd. What do you think? No comparison. You're kidding. No comparison. Why no comparison? Very simple. With Nezirut, if you say Hareni Nazir, Hareni Nazir, every one of the times that you say Hareni Nazir is Chal, except that it's put off till the beginning of the next Nezirut. You have to finish one, complete the count, bring in, and then start the next one. So therefore, there always was a Nezirut. All you're doing is moving it up. But what Rava is claiming, that reality at the time doesn't matter. What matters is reality as it comes to be redefined in a time which to you is already past the time where it was Nogea. Because you already did that thing. Well, that's a much bigger Chiddush. Because, you see, the Nezirut was expressed in your own reality. What Rava is claiming is that the reality that you happened to inhabit at that moment is not definitive. What's the difference if you change the past? Who's to say that that's a different universe? So you changed the past, and now it turned out it was all a mistake. There never was a Shmur. You can't prove that from here. These are all very serious, by the way, physics issues today. Such questions. Right, I mean, one of the ways of answering the issues of time travel and the contradictions that end up entering into the physical universe in time travel by changing things in the past are, in fact, that all that happens is that you would flip into a different parallel universe anyway, which is always extant. The possibilities are always there. It has nothing to do with really changing anything. So the question is, where are you now? It may seem to you everything is exactly the same. But that's the question. You can't prove the case of the Zirut where there always was a Zirut in your future. The moment you said it. So now the question only is when. It doesn't bother me to redefine the when, but to redefine the if, that bothers me, because then there was nothing, it didn't exist at all, and now it suddenly comes into existence. How can you prove that from Rava? Okay, now this gets more detailed here. Let's take a look at the case. So first of all, says the Gemara of Yashta. Hatam, Nezirut mi'aita, there always is. That second Nezirut, the third Nezirut. Because the halacha is the chimani l'rishona. The moment that you finish counting the first one, you now have to start counting the second one, and so on. So boy ma'adamim l'shnia. That's without any she'elah. It has nothing to do with the question of she'elah. So we're not dealing with some kind of question of the existence of the Nezirut. But over here, shvuah shnia, without that she'elah, mi'ita klal, it didn't exist in our universe. So what sense does it make to say that you can retroactively redefine the universe in such a way that the second shvuah is chal? Then, Amar Rava, here's where it gets even more interesting. Somebody makes a shvua on a kikar, which means that he can't eat any kezayit of it, right? Okay, he eats some of it. There's still a kezayit left. That kezayit is now also for him to eat. He can still, if he was shir mimena kezayit, he can still be nish'al aleha. Which means that now he redefined the past and never had been over on his shvua. The reason he can be nish'al aleha is because since it's still extant, you can now act upon the shvua that exists. You can't go back in time to deal with the shvur that no longer exists if you would have eaten the whole thing.
Because
it's not nogea now. It's only nogea the past. There's no she'ela on the past. There's a she'ela on something that is relevant to the present.
If he asks on the last kazakh,
right,
does it knock out the first several?
Because there was only one shvua. Wait. Let's just finish. Now, in the case of Achla Kula, if you already finished eating the whole thing, then in the Shalala. Well, I don't understand. I mean, Echidam. You didn't define the case. Now, if the case was Shalo Ochal instead of Shalo Ochlena, we said Shalo Ochal means each Kizayat you're over, right? If that was the case, so then he was already over the Isser. So I don't understand what it means to say that having done something which was Usser, you can change the past now and say you didn't do what was Usser. What you did was Usser when you did it, and therefore it shouldn't impact the Isser that existed at that time. And if what you said was lo ochlen na, so then what does that have to do with having a kezayit? Let's say that you ate the whole thing except for half of a zayit. Is it not relevant? The last half a zayit is now going to be the entire shvua. Because you're not going to be over the shvua until you consume the whole thing. So then why introduce the zayit? I don't understand what Rav is saying. So I feel kosher. Now, what's the difference how much there was? I was not yet over on the Shavua, and therefore I ought to be able to be Shoel, because now I can do something which, if I'm Shoel, will save me from being over on my Shavua. Says the Gemara, that is not a good question. It works either way. And that's exactly why Rava didn't address it. Ibait Ema, if you want to, you can say the case was where he said Shalom Ochal. If you want to, you can say the case is ready. Let me explain it to you. Okay, here's how it works. It works with a migo. Migo means once something has an impact in the area where it's meant to have an impact, that impact now stretches over the entirety of our reality. That's what migo always means on some level or another, right? So over here, once you say migo, is it not true that the Torah has given you the ability to be Shaya? You're not going to argue on that. But if the Torah gives you the ability to be Shaya, and the only way to be Shaya is by being Oker, the original Neder, so then you're left with the undeniable fact that if the Shaya is effective, that the Shrua never existed. Therefore, to say, but you did something wrong, the most you could say is, you thought you did something wrong. You were a bad boy because you thought you did something wrong. We have a case like that. A bad girl who thought she did something wrong. She didn't know that her husband was matir the neder. And she ate thinking that her husband wasn't matir the neder. So over there it says, Hashem yislach la. For thinking you were doing the wrong thing, but that's not doing the wrong thing. You're not going to certainly bring a carbon, you're not going to get malchus. Right? So you were a bad boy, okay? A lot of things were bad boys, bro. But it's not the same thing as being over the sister, right? And there's no denying this. I'm not dealing with the past, don't you understand? I'm dealing with the present. The problem is that the Torah only allowed me to deal with the present by being okay the past. What am I supposed to do? You're right. If 100%, that's what Rava said. Once you don't have a kezayit left to eat, so then I don't have any implications to the present. Then you're right 100%. I certainly cannot arbitrarily decide to go back and redefine the world. Okay. But if you want to, I can say the case works the other way too. Works perfectly way the other way. Because ibayit ema shelo uchlena. Okay, so you're saying, so what's the difference whether you left a kezayit or a tenth of a kezayit? Bottom line is, whatever is left is all that is between you and being over on the shvua. That's all very nice, but there's another issue over here. You're assuming that the issue is the shvua. That's not necessarily true. The issue may be the achila. Meaning, how important is this? So since we're dealing with an isser of achilat akikar, less than a kezayit is irrelevant. Maybe not in terms of the shvua, but in terms of you, it's irrelevant because it doesn't constitute a relevant achila. And therefore, less than a kezayit in the context of a shvua, in which we're shaloch lena, is not chashiv. So ish yer kezayit, so then it's chashiv. It's important. If it's important, you can go be shal on it. But ilo, lo chashiv lichulei alei, it's simply not significant enough to tell me that the Torah gave the parsha of she'ela on this case.
But if you left over this petition.
But the truth is, we have a similar situation in Tshuva also to this last piece. Because Tshuva Gemura is only possible where the issue is still Nogea, where there's a Kezayit left. Because it has to be the same woman in the same hotel room, and it has to be part of the same situation, as the Rambam says. Otherwise, you're not really doing Tshuva by being uprooting the past, because it's no longer irrelevant. So it's no longer relevant, it can't completely undo the issur. It can only deal with elements of slicha mechila, but it can't really deal with uprooting what was done. So a change in the nature of the past requires a relevance of that change to the future. That's the beauty of it. To the present, now. So the same way, if you don't have a kezayit left, you can't really undo the issur of the kezayit that you ate. If you don't have that woman still left, you can't undo the times that you slept with her in the past. So it's very, very similar. Amazing. Yeah. Nishba lebatel et ha-mitzvah v'lo bitel. Patur. V'kayem v'lo kiyem. Patur. Shaya v'din shiyei chayav. Kidiv Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah. Because Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah ma'im ha-reshut she'eno mushba alav mi'ar Sinai. Harei hu chayav alav. Mitzvah shu kein mushba alav mi'ar Sinai. Nodim shiyei chayav alav. Amru lo, on the contrary, lo im amarta b'shvat ha-reshut. Because over there ha-saba alav kein tomar b'shvat mitzvah where you don't have symmetry. Because after all, you too admit im nishbal avatel velo bitel you be potter. Now, how do we know all of these assumptions? Turn rabban. Yochon nishbal avatel leta mitzvah velo bitel yechayav. Talmud lomar lahara oleitiv. Just as we know that hatava has got to mean reshut, avara arashut. Otzi nishbal avatel leta mitzvah velo bitel shupatur. Yochon nishba lekayim et ha-mitzvah v'lo kiyem she'chayav. Talmud lomar la-ra'a le'itiv. Just like ha-ra'a is reshut, ha-fatava reshut. Otzi nishba lekayim et ha-mitzvah v'lo kiyem shupatur. Yochon nishba la-ra'a la'atzmo v'lo hira. Yoch yeh patur. Talmud lomar la-ra'a le'itiv. Ma ha-tava reshut, ha-fara'a reshut. Avi nishba la-ra'a la'atzmo v'lo hira. Since ha-reshut b'yado. Yochon nishba lahira lahirin velo hira shechayav. Talmud lomar lahira lahatif. Ma hatava reshut hafara arashut. Otzi nishba lahira lahirin velo hira she'in harashut biyado. If that's the case, minayin l'rabot hatavat ahirin, which violates the symmetry, Talmud lomar o lahatif. And what type of ra'at ahirin are we talking about? Habash is brains in. Okay, now starting at the top. Because we're all agreed to be in atava dumin ha-ra'a, ra'a dumin ha-atava, right? Da'akish ha-ra'a la-atava. Ma ha-atava ena bebitul mitzvah, af ha-ra'a ena bebitul mitzvah. Well, I mean, if that would be the case, then the ha-ra'a gufa would be a hatava. Va'akishatavala ra'a, ma ra'enu b'kiyum mitzvah, Av hatavayinu b'kiyum mitzvah. So then the hatava gufa would be hara'ayi. You can make the same argument, but varish is not milo mashkachat la. I mean, what if you're overweight? You're making a shvua to eat. Element itzrich o rabot hatavat acherim. Obviously, shvaminot bedvarishut k'tivi. Because isak dagam bedvar mitzvah k'tivi. I mean, think about this. Hashtara'at acherim. You're telling me I'm going to be marba from the o. So hatavat acherim, me boy. I'm sorry. Hashtara'at acherim. I know is included. I need the o to be marba hatavat acherim. Wait a minute. Hayomi boyle lechalek na lechalek b'tzarich gro. Heinich Rabbi Yonatan. What about according to Rabbi Yosef? Am I yikalamim? The tanya isha sheikalel taviv edimo in the ala aviv imo aviv alo imo imo velo aviv minayim. Talmud Omar aviv imo kilel aviv kilel imo kilel. The Rabbi Yosef. I don't need that. Mash b'shem ke'echad mash b'echad b'teatzmo ad shifrot lecha katuv yachdav. Well, I feel the Rabbi Yosef. What's the problem? He could all like Rabbi Akiva does ribuy miyute, and therefore the O indeed is a chalek. The thing is that it can't be talking about a dvar mitzvah because he only bishlama bidvar reshut kativ. So then, indeed, we're being mamayit from the miyut a dvar mitzvah. But if you're telling me that we're talking about a dvar mitzvah also, so what is excluded? Om Rabbi Yehuda Matera mayim reshut. So Rabbanan saying, what about symmetry? Rabbanan Shapa Karmelet Rabbi Yehuda Membatera. Rabbi Yehuda Membatera says back to you, forget about symmetry. You yourself have violated symmetry. Otu atavat acherim, lav afakav delete b'chlal arat acherim, and nonetheless, Rabbi Rachmana, why not say the same thing, achanami b'kiyam mitzvah, afakav delete b'bitul mitzvah, nonetheless, Rabbi Rachmana. Rabbanan, it's not true. There is a symmetry. Because you could simply say, I will not be meitiv. But what are you going to say about a mitzvah? You could say, I will not be mekayim. That's exactly what you cannot say. Shvuah shelo ochal kikazu. Shvuah shelo ochlena. Shvuah shelo ochlena. Ve'achla. Eno chayav elachat. And zoi shvuat bitui shechayavin azdona makot ve'al shkigata korban olaviyoret. Shvuat shav on the other hand, chayavin azdona makot, but al shkigata you'll be potter. Now, lama le'lamit neshvu'a shelo ochal, and then repeat shvu'a shelo ochlena, akamash v'man, taima diyoma shelo ochal, v'hodarama shelo ochlena. That's the only reason that you're only mechayev alechoda. Avalama shelo ochlena first, v'hodarama shelo ochal, then he would indeed be mechayev tarte, kid rova. Diyoma rova, shvu'a shelo ochal kikarzo, kivan she'achal mimena kizayet chayav, Shlo ochlena in a chayav et shechalat kula. Shva shlo ochlena v'ochlena chayav elachat. Why repeat it three times? Atu lamali. Ah, kamashvan. Chiyuvu udaleka. Ashvua ika. And im ashkachat rivacha. Chayela. Yeah, and lamai yokata. Ha ha. Likit a rava. Diyam a rava she indish al ala rishona. Al talo shniya tachtea. Well, isn't that and it says, Mishnah Dash, then is zero. Mana Rishona, Fishalea Korban, and then Achakam Nishala Rishona. So now it turns out that all along he was keeping the Shnia. Faltalo Shnia Rishona. Nah, come off it, man. Nachyashta. Hatam Nizirut Mia Ita. Because anyway, Kimani Rishona, he always would have had to be by Madamim Nishnia. That's even without Sheila. But over here, without the Sheila, the Shvua Shnia Mi'ita Klal, it doesn't exist at the time. So what good is the Sheila going to do? Omar Rava Nishbal Kikar V'Achla. Im Shiyem Iman HaGezayit, then he could be Nishal Aleha. But if Achla Kula, he Nishal Aleha. Om Le Rav Kuri, Rav Le Ravashi, I don't understand. No matter what the case is, this doesn't make any sense. Idi Omar Shalo Ochal, so then Mi'kezayit Kama Avdei Li'isuret. So then what Rava is saying that what? It's only Nogea, the last Kizayat, that's a trivial point. Obviously you could do that. But how could you undo the past for what you already did on the be over in Isser? And he diyama shaloch lena. So the Mayari Kizayat, Avil Koshu Nami is going to be Nogea, whether you're going to be over on your Shvua now. Ibai temeshlochal, Ibai temeshlochal. Ibai temeshlochal, Migo de Manila Shela Kizait Batra, Manila Shela Nami, Akizait Kama. We buy them Shlochlena, because E Shir Kizayat, then and only then is it Chashiv the Chuleyala. But Ilo, Lo Chashiv the Chuleyala, not because you weren't over yet. That's not the point. But what are you going to get out of the Shay?